Salad Adan, 22nd of March, Rabbi Daniel Schoenfeld, automatic ownership.
Good morning. Automatic ownership is quite an interesting topic, and in halacha it doesn't come up very much, to be honest, because in order to own something, you have to have intent to own it, you have to want to own it. There is obviously, however, inheritance laws, the halachas of Yerusha, but we know that a person doesn't need to think about it. Reuven is Nifta, his Yorshim, his descendants will automatically, not only descendants, anyone who's related, but according to the succession of inheritance that's in the Torah. Okay. I would like to discuss the following shaila. It comes up in different ways and different examples. The shaila I heard was like this. Reuven is a Judaica collector, and he collects his whole life, and he amasses a very large collection. Amongst his collection are some valuable books. And as he gets older, he writes his will, and he decides to apportion his estate between his wife and his daughter. That's why he has a wife and a daughter. His wife he gives half, and his daughter he gives half. Now, his wife, according to halacha, in the Torah, a wife is not yerush her. Therefore, he has to give her her half of the estate as a gift. The daughter, though, is yerush her father, min haTorah, and therefore he doesn't have to do anything. He'll leave the rest for her. She'll automatically own the rest. Very good. He does have, in his collection, a few books which are particularly valuable. And he gives, let's say there are 10 of them, I don't remember the number, let's say 10, 5 he gives to his wife, and 5 he leaves for his daughter. Each one worth around £1,000. Okay, by Hi Ayom, the man's Nifta, and his wife and daughter are Yerid. Well, the wife had her gift, and the daughter is Yerush. They're not as interested in Judaica as the father was, and they prefer the money. They decide to sell the collection. Okay, so they sell most of the collection. These 10 precious books, they were told they're around £1,000, so they'll sell it, they'll take it to an evaluator to get the exact figure. The man doesn't give them the exact figure, let's say around £1,000. Fine, they sell them on, and some of the books are bought by a from man, and he notices that there's an inscription inside, signed, and it's not any inscription, it's by a very famous person. And it brings up the value of the book from £1,000 to £5,000, and it's not only one of the books, it's a number of the books. And his shaila is, does he have to let the seller, the wife and the daughter, the original owner, the people who sold them, does he have to let them know that they're really worth much more than what he paid for them? Does he have to give them back? Does he have to pay the remainder? That was his shaila. Okay. As I say, we'll cover a few shailas along the way, but that's going to be our main shaila. Let's take a gemara, a short gemara in Bava Metzia. Daf Chofei Amar Beis, a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Motza begal of a koseh yoshon. If you find something in a gal, in a mound of rubble, heap of rubble, and Rashi explains, we're talking about a heap of rubble from a wall of a building which was around before Bnei Yisrael got to Eretz Yisrael. It was around from their Miriam's time. Okay, that the Gemara explains. Talking about a very old wall. And in this rubble from this wall that fell, you find the metziah, you find a cup. It says that you can keep it. Not only in the mound. If you find it in the wall, when the wall's still standing, and you find it there, and it's a cup, you can keep it. Ask the Gemara, just because it's an old wall, you can keep it? So the Gemara we're talking about was very rusty. Very, very, very rusty. And no one leaves their cups in the walls for such a long time. And obviously it's there from the times of their Miriam. That's the Gemara. Another Gemara, on Omid Beis, Chofov Omid Beis, the Mishnah, says, Motze Bachanus. If you find a Metziah, you find something which is lost, it doesn't have any simonim. You find it in a shop. Hari Hei Shaloi. You can keep it. You can keep it. You find it in a shop, you can keep it. That's a Mishnah. Ask Tosfos and many of the Rishonim, very obvious question. I mean, they ask a few questions. Well, one we're going to focus on is, why can you keep it? Why is the wall or the shop not koiner it for the owner? Let me explain myself. We know that property of a person can affect the kinyan. Chotze shalom can be koina. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk on Daf Yudin Bov Metzia. That not only can the hand of, but not only can a person make a kinyan, his property can make kinyanim for him, can acquire things for him. So learn from a pasuk of Himotzi Timotzi Liyodo, that the Gemara says, Gagoi, Chatzera, Kafifoi, your roof, your garden, your balcony, all these things, if something falls into it, or someone wants to sell you something and they put it in your house, they put it in your garden, they put it in your balcony, then you'll coiner it that way, you can acquire it that way. That's Doraisa, and no one argues with that. It even works by a goy. A goy's house, you can do the same thing, says the Ketzos. That's a Gemara. Another Gemara says that not only is the house koina if you want it to be koina, what happens if something falls into your garden? Something falls into your garden, and we'd see something which is lost, it's blown from far away, falls into your garden. You can also keep it, even though you don't even know it's there. But the garden and the house will be koina without you even knowing. Chatzer shel adam koina loy, shaloi midaito. Even if you don't know it's there, it'll be koina. So ask Tosfos, this rusty cup that's in the wall, and the metzia that you find in the shop, why is the shop not koina it for the shopkeeper? And why is the wall not koina it for the owner of the wall? That's Tosfos' question. Many Rishonim asked this question. And there are various answers. I found 8. I think that maybe more. And Tosfos answers as follows. Tosfos says, you're right. Property can be koina for you. And it can even be koina for you if you don't know about it. You don't even know it's there, your property will affect the ownership for you. But that's only so long as that one day you're probably going to find it. You're probably going to know about it. Then your property will act as an agent on your behalf to make the kinyan. But if you're never going to find it, it's very unlikely you're ever going to find it, then there's no reason for your property to act as an agent on your behalf. There's no ta'eles, it doesn't help anything, you're probably not going to find it anyway. In such a case, your property won't make the kinyan for you. That's Tosfos's idea. It has to be something that you'll go to find. Therefore, an old rusty cup in the back of the wall that's been there for years and years and years since the Emoriam came, there's no reason to suggest or to suspect that the present owner of the wall is going to find it more than all the people who were there before him hadn't found it. And therefore, the wall won't be koina for him. Similarly in a shop, a small thing in a large shop, it's unlikely that the shopkeeper is going to find it. So many people kicking it around, it's such a big place, it's a small thing, says Tosfos. We're talking about a small thing. And therefore, the shop won't be koina. Obviously correct, if it's a massive cow in the middle of a very small corner shop, yes, perhaps he would be koina it. But a regular material which is small in a large shop, because he won't find it, the property won't be koina. Fine. Just to bring a modern day example, the Lahoyos Nossen has a shaila. In Eretz Yisrael, all the shuls have vending machines. Every shul in Eretz Yisrael has a shul, or an akodesh, has a few things. In the back, it has a vending machine. You can put money, get a Coke, can of Coke, you can get sandwiches. Some have more, some have less. It also did different hakshirim, the variety, you can all sorts. And his question is like this: you put in a coin, Reuven goes to the vending machine, and he puts in a coin, and it gets stuck, and doesn't come out, he fights, bangs, nothing happens. Okay, he gives up, forget it. Walks off. Next guy comes along, you know, these things are 20 people a minute going through these machines, it's unbelievable. Next guy puts in a coin, and guess what happens? Both fall out. So now he's got £2, he's got 10 shekel, you know, 5 shekel, the last person's 5 shekel, his 5 shekel. Puts his 5 shekel back in, takes a can, and he's left with the previous man's 5 shekel. Does he have to call the number that's written on the top to say, I have 5 shekel of yours that I found in the machine?
For this.
Or can he pocket it? Sorry?
You get two drinks.
No, you're wondering. No, both came
not,
out.
It's not theirs.
That's the question. Oh, it's not theirs. Why is it not theirs?
Because the guy before, but it doesn't belong to them.
Why not?
The
guy gave up. The first guy put it in gave up. So you're saying, why should they believe to the guy? Yeah, he walked away for 5 shekel, he'll stand there for. He banged the machine, he tried his best, and next time I'll use a different machine.
He has to give it to the Spanish where the vending machine is.
Oh, give it to the Sokka Laser Medrash. He gave his tzedakah for the day. Why should he give this to tzedakah? That's halacha? So I'll tell you another halacha. I'll tell you halacha. I'll ask you why you halacha. Let me just say this halacha first. Not only are houses koina, and gardens koina, and balconies koina, also vending machines, also kelim, also articles. As long as it has a base kibble, as long as it's a kli, it has walls around it, they're also koina for you. They also can affect the kinyan, not only if you know about it, or if you don't know about it. That's a point of contention which I'll come to in a second. They'll affect the kenyan whether you know about it or not. So when the first man, Reuben, put his 5 shekel in the machine, and he was miyayish, so let him be koinerit. Let the man of the machine be koinerit.
Unless he's never going to find it.
Very good. So according to Tosfos, which we just mentioned, that when does property make ownership for you? When does it affect ownership? Only when we can assume you're going to find it at the end of the day. You're going to find it at some point. Over here, there's so many people going through these machines. It's highly unlikely that the owner of the machine is going to get there before anyone else manages to find his 5 shekel. Therefore, according to Tosfos, there'll be no reason to give it back to the owner of the machine. Reuven, who originally put it in, you don't know who he is and he doesn't want it. The owner of the machine, there's no reason why he can't be koinerit, because Tosfos says he probably won't find it at the end of the day. And therefore his kelim, his machine, won't be koinerit for him. Therefore you can keep it yourself. Okay, that is Tosfos.
The owner of the machine doesn't own that 5 shekels because the guy never got his can.
The guy gave up.
It's in his machine.
They always come back and bang the machine and hope to get.
Yeah, he came with a sledgehammer. He's been and done. He's been there with the screwdrivers, machines. Nothing happened.
If it's based on Medrash and there's a notice on it saying Shalos Chovas Laharis Noson says that you can't take the coin, then it will be there for the Balabais at the end of the day.
That you,
because nobody will take it.
You won't be miyash, and another person will call him up.
Then nobody will take it.
Yeah, but if it has a sign that everyone who finds anything in the space of measures must give it to say, there's not. In most places, I put a machine there. Okay, that's Tosfos that we've mentioned. Okay, there is, as I said, many Rishonim ask this question. I'm not going to go through all the Tirutim that there are, but I will go through one more, and that is a Modcha. The Modcha is troubled by the same question, and he gives a different answer. He says that whether or not the owner is going to find it at the end of the day, or he's not going to find it at the end of the day, is irrelevant. What's important to him is, can we assume that the owner of this chotzer, the owner of this house, the owner of this wall where you found the thing, did he ever imagine that this thing would be there? Could he ever have thought that this thing would be in this wall? Is there any possibility he would have thought of it? If yes, then we'll say that his property becomes an agent on his behalf to be koinerit. But if not in the wildest dream, he would never think for a second that there was this thing in his property, then the agent, the property doesn't become his agent, and he won't be koinerit. Yet the rule of chotzer's koinerit has to be that the owner of that chotzer, the owner of that property, could have thought, would have thought, may have thought that it would be there. But if we have no chashash at all that he would have thought of this, then it won't be koinerit. Says the Modcha, this old cup in the wall, why would he think there's an old rusty cup in his wall? It's from so many years ago. There's no reason to suspect that he would think of it being there. Therefore the chotzer won't be koinerit. Okay, that's the Modcha. What happens with our vending machine? Our vending machine, it happens the whole time, these coins get stuck.
Yeah, the owner fixes it so that every second coin gets lost.
Yeah. So it's highly probable that the owner of the machine did have a tzad that coins will get stuck, and he might find them, and one day he'll take them. And therefore, according to the Modcha, it's possible to suggest that the owner of the machine will own it, and you'll have to dial that number that it says on the screen. Okay. That's Tosfos and the Modcha. Let me mention another case that the Modcha brings, which will be a nafka minna, again between Tosfos and the Modcha, just to clarify the two opinions. A ger owns things, but when he dies, if he hasn't had any children, when he's Jewish, there's no one to inherit him. And his nechosim, all his possessions become hefka. First come, first served. So, there once was a ger who went to a Jew's house, and he was visiting, and while he was visiting, he died. Nebuchadnezzar died. He wasn't particularly ill. There's no reason to suspect he would die, but he did. Suddenly, the Chevra Kedisha come, and You start looking around him. What's he got on his body? On his body is a purse. And in that purse are gold nuggets. The man from the Chevra Kedisha is very happy. So he keeps gold nuggets. Find his keepers, right? So, first come, first served. I was first. Says the host, you weren't first at all. I was here, it's my house. Died in my house.
He didn't expect it, though.
Fantastic. Right. Says the Modcha, there's not a dream. Says the Modcha, he brings a story and he says, there's not any son in the world that the owner would have thought that this girl would die in his house. There was no reason to suspect he would die. Sorry?
When he did die.
No, he didn't know. Yeah, you're right, you're right. He didn't know. Once he died, oh no, but even the gold. Why? Why? He would suspect the girl had gold nuggets on him. It's no worse than a silver hat.
No. All the property of the Ger belongs to me because he died in my house.
How did it become yours?
Because I know he died and he's in my house. Therefore, everything
and how you, so what you coin? Let's say you see he's got a watch, you coin his watch. You see he's got glasses, you coin his glasses, his jacket. Inside his jacket,
automatically, he's got everything. His jacket,
he's got a diamond. Diamond worth millions. Are you coin that?
Everything.
How are you coin that? Just tell me how you coin it. Chotzer is coin it. What does the Modcha say? Is the rule for a chotzer to be koiner?
You have to suspect.
You must have had some possibility that the owner of the chotzer would have thought it would be there.
That's why you're right.
But if it's so unlikely to be there that he would never have thought, then he's not koiner, says the Modcha. Therefore, says the Modcha, he's not koiner. The guy who found it can keep it.
Don't get it.
Don't get it? Why?
No, because the moment that the Balabais discovered that the Ger is dead,
let's just say he didn't.
Okay. If he didn't know the Ger is dead, once he knows the Ger is dead, then he thinks to himself, amazing, everything that the Ger owned becomes mine. Whatever he had with him, automatically mine, because my house was going there.
And he had any tzad in the world that would be something so valuable?
He said Baruch Dynamis, and he said
Baruch Dynamis, and he said I've owned everything he's got.
I've just yashed everything that he owned. Whatever he had with him in my house. Automatically.
I make the Baruch Dynamis, I'm happy because of everything I'm going to eat. Okay.
Oh.
And the story, the guy dies,
I'm coining
everything that's
from
his
thoughts. Okay, so let's say the story was he didn't know he died. Okay, so I actually think it would be true if he did know he died. But if it makes it easier, let's say he didn't know he died. Okay? Sorry, yes?
It contradicts the definition of a Messiah.
Why?
To say you could only be coined something because you're a wall if you thought of it beforehand.
Not if you thought of it. Sorry, maybe I didn't make myself clear. I'm saying that you could have thought of it. That means that when you own a house, there's a stam das, we assume that a person assumes that anything that comes in here also wants to be koiner. According to this opinion, anything that comes in here also wants to be koiner. But it's only things you would have thought about. It's only something, that's the chiddush of Modcha, and Nachonami, it's a very big chiddush, but he's saying that we don't just take on a stam das, we say that everything in the world, the person's got, he wants to be koiner everything. You're right, he does, but it has to be that it entered his mind in some small way that it could have been this thing.
So up to a few hundred pounds of Uber, my mate has in his pocket that you're coining.
I don't know where the line is. I don't know where the line is. I know gold nuggets not. And I know coins in a vending machine, yes. Where the line is, I think each case would have to be dealt with. They found cash in the mattress. Assuming the person hadn't been yaish on it and hadn't given up on it, then it's his. You just have to give it back because it belongs to him. If not, you're gone. Not because you can't be coined. You can't steal someone else's thing.
You want the owner of the house to examine the contents of the gear before the Chevra Kedisha gets there, don't you?
Do I want him to do that? He doesn't have to do that. If he wants to be koine, then he would have to do that. Yeah.
He would have to do that.
He would have to do that because it's such a not everything. His watch he can have. Very nice Rolex watch that's sitting on the person's wrist.
It's obvious.
Yeah. Just the gold nuggets there hidden in the wallet. That he wouldn't according to the Modcha. According to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, something that, remind me, Tosfos, something that, just gone blank, sorry, because of all the questions.
If he's likely to find it.
Exactly, at the end of the day, you're likely to find, the owner we can say is likely to find it. Well, if he would have been dealing with this ger, perhaps he would have found it, depending on the situation, what the circumstances were. Perhaps he would have found these gold nuggets at the end of the day. Okay, again, that's a machlokes. Let's come back to our case. There are the nafkaminas, maybe we'll discuss them shortly. Let's just come back to our original story of the books and the library. So we have a wife and daughter who have these books, and they've sold them on, and they're worth a lot more than they knew. So one could say that the wife and daughter had no idea of the value of these books. They didn't know they were inscribed by someone famous. And therefore, the wife would never have dreamt of the book being worth £5,000. She would never have thought it being worth so much money, of having such an expensive, valuable inscription in it. And therefore, she may not have owned it. And when she sold it on, the person who gets it now can keep it.
She can sue the value. The guy who did the valuation, she can sue.
Maybe.
He should have seen.
Maybe.
Possibly. Possibly, if he was, there are lots to that. When that would be Garmi.
The
case in the Gemara where a person says, "Take this coin; it's a good coin," and it turns out to be not a good coin. You can tell him, "Yeah, listen, it's your fault." But it does depend. Let's not go into that now. But there are many rules when that will apply. But Nachanami, it has to be a poshe in some way. Okay.
Come back to the daughter.
The daughter and the wife. So they've sold it on. So one can say, listen. They would never have dreamt of the value being there, and they passed it on. The person who gets it can keep it, because they would never coin it. They got it from their husband. The original husband, father owned it. He's passed it on to them. He's gone. He's not here. They passed it on to them. They don't own it. They passed it on. The person who's got it now can keep it. However, let's just differentiate between the wife and the daughter for starters. The wife, we said, got it as a gift, right? Because she doesn't inherit her husband. So she got it as a gift. Okay, that's very similar to all our cases so far. The daughter, however, got it as an inheritance. And as we started off, inheritance doesn't need das. You don't need to know, want, to get what you're getting. The person who's nifta is nifta. The person who's yorish is yorish. It happens automatically. So the daughter will own whatever it is. Irrelevant if she knew, didn't know, could have known, should have known. Okay, so she will definitely own it, and she'll have to be paid for the books that she sold. Now they're worth £5,000. The buyer will have to go back to her and say, listen, you know you sold me this book, it's a no. And you should know that the Zainar, really, it's worth much more than how much you thought it was. The wife, however, got it as a gift. And when she took the book, she didn't know of the value. And you may think that, fine, so she doesn't own it, does she? And the next person owns it. Okay, however, that's not so simple. That's not so simple. It's not exactly the same case. Let me tell you the modchim in full. The modchim we've been discussing brings a story. It says there's a man who wanted to lead his roof. He wanted to re-lead. He goes to a goy. Buys a pile of lead. And then he finds out, it wasn't lead that his roof needed, it needed something else. So he doesn't need the lead, fixes his roof some other way. And the lead he sells to Shimon, sells to another Yid. Shimon, who does need to fix his roof. Shimon opens up the lead, breaks it open, and finds that only the outer covering is lead. Inside is silver. His shaila is, does he have to go now to Reuven and say, you know that lead you sold me, it was really silver, and I owe you I take it back, or I owe you much more money. Does he have to? This is where he says this thing, that since Reuven could not have dreamt that the pile of lead that he bought from the goy was full of silver inside, so Reuven never owned that silver. When he bought it from the goy, that silver was not his at all. And when he passes it on to Shimon, Shimon owns it now. He got it from the goy, he can keep it. Sarvedus Akum, he can keep it. Shimon can keep the lead. Says the Avodas HaGoshuni. That's nice in that case. Let me give you another case. Avodas HaGoshuni was a Talmud of the Bach. He was a Mechutzen of the Shach. Shalosh Shuvos Avodas HaGoshuni. Gersh Ashkenazi. He says, let me give you a different case. A silver plate. Perhaps a Pesach plate. Say the plate. Silver plate, but it's very dirty and it looks like it's lead. There's no lead in there at all. It's pure silver. But it looks like it's lead. And he sells the plate. Reuven sells the plate. He buys it and sells it. Reuven buys a silver plate, what he thinks is a lead plate, and sells it on. The second person who's bought it finds it that it's silver. He cleans it, polishes it, finds it silver. Does he have to tell the first person who bought it that it's silver? Is that the same as finding silver inside? Here the silver's not inside. It's all silver. You've just made a mistake in what you're buying. Is that the same as finding silver inside to say that, no, the first person never owned it, and the second person can keep it? Is that the same? No. Says Avodas HaGoshuni, he would have thought no, correct. If he would, from himself he would have thought no. But he says the Levush says it's the same. Levush says you're right, it's a chiddush, but it's the same thing. Because you didn't know what you were buying, you thought you were buying lead, and you bought silver, you don't own that silver. When you pass it on to someone else, he can keep it. It was never yours. It never belonged to you. If so, what's with our book story? Is a book. And it has an inscription inside. You didn't know about the inscription. So can we still say that you didn't own the inscription? I would say yes. Why not? Silver plate. You bought a lead plate, found it to be silver. You don't own the silver. You bought a book, has an inscription. You don't know about it. You don't own it. You don't own that value. Says the Shari Rachamim and says the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Dalet. He says that there's a difference. He has a slightly different case, but he says like this. When you buy a book, you bought the book, and the book you own, because the book was right, the book that you wanted to buy was the book you thought it was, and it is that same book, it was that book, it still is that book, the book hasn't changed. You thought the book was an Aleph, but you know, whatever the sefer was, that sefer you still own, right? The fact that it also has an inscription that brings up its value, all it's doing is adding value to that same book that you bought, and you knew it was a book, and you knew it was this book, it's just more valuable. There's no reason to say you don't own that. Of course you own that. That's not the same as buying what you think is lead and finding it to be silver, where there's no lead at all. It's not the same as buying lead and finding silver inside, where you would have never dreamt of having silver inside. It's not the same as a ger who's in somebody's house, and you find the gold inside, and you never have dreamt of it having gold. You bought a book, you thought of buying a book, and you did buy a book, you own that book. There's no reason to say you shouldn't own that book. And therefore you'll own the added value to it as well.
That's different.
Yeah. Oh, why?
Well, because they had it valued, and they were told that this book is only worth 1,000. Which means that somebody who knows the value of an inscription has discounted it, told them there's nothing there that's worth any more than that.
Right,
right. Okay. Right, so therefore there, they're not coined of the inscription, maybe, because they've been told, effectively, this is the value of the book, it's only book value.
If I understand you right, you're asking that something which only has a value to a few people, the value is taken for most people, it's only worth 1,000.
If they hadn't shown it to anybody, I would understand. But once they've shown it to somebody,
they found something that's prepared. They found a few people who are prepared, many people are prepared to pay £5,000 now.
Yeah.
So just because he told me it's worth 1,000, that discounts the whole value of the 5,000. It's not worth 5,000 anymore. Why? You can sell it in the shuk for £5,000. Not worth £5,000.
Because I've been told by an expert that it's not. So therefore, I'm not clean of that.
The point I'm trying to make is that you bought the book, and the fact that it's just got added value is not relevant to the cases where it's discussed. It's not the same as a vending machine. It's not the same as all these things where you thought A and got B. That's why I'm. Therefore, the purchaser who owns it now would have to go back and tell the original owner about it. Okay, fine, good, great. I've got a few minutes. I just want to say an interesting case. Should have left more time for this. Reuven is standing on the street, okay, and he's waiting for somebody. He's standing on the side of the pavement, and he's waiting for someone. Along comes Shimon down the road, sees Reuven standing there, comes up to Reuven and notices behind him is a whole pile of lots of money or some big material, lots of expensive thing behind him. So it's sitting on the floor behind him, an iPod, anything you want, it's sitting behind him on the floor. He picks it up, Shimon picks it up, and says, great. Reuven says, wait. Isn't that mine first? I was here. Chotzer. What does it mean, chotzer? There's halachot, chazal umasakan, daladamas, exactly. Chazal umasakan, that if you're standing, not in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, where everyone's knocking around, and you don't have any control of it, you know, daladamas is quite big. I measured it. Daladamas is like, from here to the bimah, it's like 2 meters. Depends on Chaim Noah and the Chaznish, but Chaznish is a bit more than 2 meters, Chaim Noah a bit less. It's quite a long way. You have 2 meters in front, 2 meters behind, 2 meters on each side. It's quite a long way. They gave you daladamas, by the way, because a body is supposed to be 3, and with your hands stretched out, you've got 4. It's a Gemara and Erevin about Shabbos. Okay, we're going to that. But you have daladamas around you to be koina. So Reuven says, I want to be koina. Shimon says, but you didn't know about it. Says Reuven, yeah, but you don't need to know about it, do you? Because we've said that property can work for you without you knowing about it.
Yeah.
Great. Now, the Taz says that applies also to daladamas, by the way. It is a machalikas, but the Taz says it applies also to daladamas and shusharam. Even if you don't know, you're walking past something in the street, you stand next to it, you're koina even if you didn't know about it. So says Reuven, the guy who was standing there, I want it, give it back to me. Says Shimon, what would you say? Allah, who's right, Reuven, Shimon?
He says
he didn't expect it in a million years. He was expecting, if it's something small, maybe you can say the guy would think, you know, a few pence, maybe even a few pounds. But finding a lot of money on the street, do you think someone, does that enter people's mind when they go in the street in the daladamas? Perhaps yes, perhaps not. Maybe it depends on the circumstance. But if it is such a large amount that, or such a strange thing that he wouldn't have thought it of being there, then he wouldn't be koinerit. But if it's a few pounds, then he is koinerit, and you'll have to give it back to him. I thought it was a very interesting halacha that if someone's standing on the street, he's koinerit that thing, and you won't be able to take it. You'll have to give it to him. Very good. Go ahead.
Nobody had it.